Take your Bibles now. Remain standing with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You'll find that in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 this morning. We'll read verses 3 through verse number 8 responsively. I'll read verse number 3 by myself, and you'll join me on verse 4. We'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 8. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll read verses 3 through verse number 8. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God.
And let's pray, because we'll have a special. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Lord, help us as we investigate your word. Lord, never again will this exact group be assembled the exact same way in history. So this truth is for today and this group only. I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to listen with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to preach with your power as I preach today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me help you today. Keep your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me start by saying this. We live in days of corruption. Live in days of evil and total opposition to God and to truth. By the way, it's as God said it would be. He said in the last days, perilous times shall come. Things would get worse and worse, not better and better. God prevented this problem in heaven because he kicked the devil out and made a place called hell for him. God knew what sin would do to people and to creation. Now, may I say this? We have to live here with the devils of hell and the rebels and the God-hating people and the governments that hate God, etc., etc. God did not want in heaven what we have here, so he saw to it that he took care of it there, but we have to live with it here. Now listen to me very carefully. We Christians still need to stand for God. We need to stand for truth. We need to stand for right. Those of you that are here regularly, you've heard me say it before. I don't blame the White House, I blame the church house. Problem today isn't the president of the United States, no matter who it will be or has been. The problem today is sissy britches preachers don't have backbone to stand on the word of God. We quit preaching truth a long time ago in our country, and look where we're at today. Generations ago, they said it's not proper to talk about religion and politics, so now we have a God-hating communist society. It's about time that men of God get a backbone, quit wearing lace on their underwear, get up and proclaim the truth. Amen. Sorry, sometimes my it just leaks out, all right? We may have to stand in the face of even family members. You'll have to stand in front of your friends. But may I say this, right is right, no matter to whom it is for or against. Right does not change based on the last name. Amen. Especially if it's Pelosi. Holidays and family, work gatherings are just ahead. Let me ask you a question. Will you stand for right? Christmas parties are coming, and it's okay. We've got a special needs boy here. Don't let him bother you. Everything's all right. Now, may I say this? Will you live right no matter who's around you? Or do you decide right and wrong like the average liberal? Where can I get the most votes and money? May I say something? We have a nation in turmoil because few people are willing to stand biblically. In the eighth grade, I went to public school all the way through my eighth grade year of school. I, at the age of 13, on July 31st, 1980, I surrendered to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have been preaching the gospel for over 40 years. May I say something? When I decided I was going to give my life to God, I gave it all to Him. That was in July, the late July, early August. In September, school started. That's back when school started, when it was supposed to, and we actually went to school. But I decided that I would take my Bible every day, put it on top of my desk in every class. That was in a public school of 1,500 students just with two grades, 8th and 9th grade. It was a pretty large school district, and it wasn't the easiest of schools to be in. I had to stand alone. I was the only person in a school with a Bible. They would roll joints in class and pass them across my desk. And I would flick them, hit the teacher in the back of the head and say, they would do drug checks and bring the dogs in to sniff lockers. People would run to me and say, Bush, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to go to juvie. Ha, ha, ha. You'd be surprised how many people I won to Christ that way. I had to stand in eighth grade science class, and the teacher got up and said, we're going to talk about evolution. I said, oh, no, we're not. He said, well, Mr. Bible Thumper, what do you think God has to say about this? So for 5 days straight, we talked about creation. He gave me the floor every day for 5 days. He'd ask questions. I'd open my Bible and answer it with the Bible, show the people in the class, had three people saved on Friday that week, one of which came to church, got baptized, lived half a block away from me. Became one of my good friends. By the way, we never did talk about evolution that week. We talked about creation. In my English class, my English teacher hated me. Literally. That's not just something I said. I would write about people getting saved. I would write about different things at church or things for God. And she would give me bad grades based on the topic. One day she said, well, you have to pick from a list of topics. Well, one was about a bus ride. Well, I worked on the bus route on Sundays. So I talked about a bus ride. She failed me. Happened to be that the principal, his mother, lived catty corner across the street from me. Mr. Hartwick's mother, I mowed her grass. I went to the principal's office. I said, Mr. Hartwick, I said, I don't think this is fair. She's failing me based on topics she's given me. I've written about it, but she doesn't like what I write about because she hates God. He called the teacher in, had her regrade all of my papers, and ended up with an A in the class. I remember my last week of school, I told her that she said, you're, she was mad at me. I told her, look, you don't have to put up with me next year. I'm going to a Christian school next year. And she looked at me. She took me out in the hall. She said, young man, I'm going to tell you something. She said, you will never succeed in life. You'll do nothing with your life. You will be a nothing the rest of your life. Guess I proved her wrong, didn't I? I have a minor in college in English grammar. I do proofreading and have written a book, authored a book. Guess I didn't listen to my English teacher. Amen? And by the way, God's used me to see tens of and hundreds of thousands of people saved. I'll take that being over accepted by an English teacher any day. But then the next year I went to a Christian school. I thought everybody was going to be like me. They were. They were sinners. And I found out in a Christian high school, you have to stand just as much as you do in a public school. And sometimes that stand is harder. I found out not everybody loved God the way I did. I found out that I had three or four other people that were like me, and the other 30 in my class weren't. I found out that not everybody in a Christian school acts the way they're supposed to act. Kind of shocked me. Graduated, and I went to Bible college. I went to a Bible college. We had about 2,400 students at that Bible college. By the way, one of the finest Bible colleges in America at the time. It was aggressive. It was soul winning. There was a lot of good people there. But did you know what? There's not everybody there that was a lot of good people. Not everybody there believed right. And I had to stand, even in opposition, at times to staff members. Now, I got to our first church. I had to make a stand. I worked there for 23 and a half months and was told either you find another place to work, and I was already working part-time to pay the bills because I wouldn't change on the Word of God. I've had to take a stand everywhere I've been since the day I decided I was going to live for God. Guess what? I'm 53 years old, I'm pastoring a church, and I'm still having to take a stand. You're going to have to take a stand if you're going to live for God. Now, I want to use the Bible and show you how what God says about how to take a stand biblically. Did you know you don't have to be mean, nasty, rude, unkind, uncouth, and a jerk about it? Now, it's a whole lot easier to be all of those things. Because then we do it in the flesh. But there's a way to stand and not compromise principles by which you do that stand. Let me show you what God has to say. First of all, look at verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, point number one, we are not supposed to live with a spirit of fear. Amen. Grace Baptist Church and the people in this room today, look at me. You're looking at a preacher that is not afraid of what's happening today. I'm not panic-stricken. I'm not all upset and worried. Oh, I have concerns about my country. I love this country. I've given my life to preach the gospel, to help this country. I've helped preacher boys, pastors, churches all around this country. I've preached in 32 or 33 states. I have been around this country. May I say something? I do not have a spirit of fear. Can I tell you why? Because God told me not to. Do you think it's always easy to take the stand I take? How'd you like to have your face planted on every one of those gospel tracts this church has passed out? How'd you like to be the one that has to answer all the voicemails and the phone calls that come after we've been out soul winning? It's not all strawberries and cream, amen? Usually it's cottage cheese and curdled milk. But if you need to stand against someone, you're going to face some fear. Courage means there's fear. And it takes courage to take a stand. And that means you're going to have fear present, but you're not to let fear take precedence over the stand you take. If you don't have some fear, you're not standing biblically. Now, make sure you keep your electronics quiet for me, please. If you don't have some type of fear, then you're taking a fleshly stand, not a biblical stand. But God says you're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. Not an attitude of fear, but a spirit of fear. Can I tell you something? My spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. I've got orders from headquarters. I don't have to fear. Bible says, what is man that you fear him? I'd rather fear God than fear man. I don't fear politicians. I don't fear the law. I don't fear executive orders. By the way, a gubernatorial executive order is not a law. Has no power of a law. Fear comes because it's contrary to what others want. There are times as a Christian, listen to me very carefully here. Did you know we Christians go the wrong direction according to the world? Actually, we're going the right direction. They're going the wrong direction. They're the ones that are going upstream. We're the ones going downstream. We think we have to swim upstream. No, it's just there's such an onslaught of people going upstream, and we're going down the way God told us to go. See, the problem is you see everybody going the opposite direction, and if you're not careful, you'll say, well, maybe I'm not going the right direction. May I say this? Here's our compass. Here's our guide. Here's our map. It tells us exactly which way to go. Amen. And as long as you're following that, you don't have to have a spirit of fear. Yesterday afternoon, I stood in the backyard of a family in Essex, Maryland, and preached a memorial service for a former church member. I stood in the backyard with the traffic going in the street behind us, and I got up and I preached the gospel, and we had four people get saved at the funeral. In the backyard. Did you know that's how America was built? I'm going to need you to turn that off there, buddy. All right, I've got to have it off. I've got to get everybody else's attention. Look right at me this way. Help me with that, please. Now, may I say this? Did you know it takes a little bit of courage to stand that way? Did you know that when the neighbors came out, it still took a little bit of courage to keep my attention? Did you know there's times that I have to say things that sometimes offends people? Did you know that being a preacher doesn't mean everybody loves you? Matter of fact, some people hate your ever-loving guts. I've had people that have tried to burn my house down. I've had people that have written all over my vehicles. Thankfully, my enemies only know four-letter words. But they're not real nice ones. I've had my vehicles written all over. I've had people try to burn my house down. I've had people do all kinds of nasty stuff. May I say something? That's not persecution. That's just taking a stand for right. That comes with the territory. Now, listen to this. We should not have a spirit of fear because it's a war between the flesh and the spirit. Those of you that know me, I'm not a mean-spirited. I am ugly, but not ugly-spirited. I'm not the most forceful person by nature. When I was in junior high, I would fail book reports because I was afraid to get up and talk in front of class. I know you don't believe that, but I was. It took some guts. It took some courage. I remember having to battle an eighth grade science teacher. Here's an eighth grader, a stupid junior higher, talking to a quote-unquote intelligent teacher. There was no life form there. You say, what'd you do? I went to my preacher's office every day for a half hour, and he taught me what to say, and I would go to class the next day and do what my preacher taught me to do. And he taught me how to stand. Besides, my preacher was 6'4", 235 pounds. I was afraid of him. Can I tell you something? I learned how to take a stand. I had people that thought I was a sissy since I carried a Bible to class. I had people that would knock my books out of my hands and open up my Bible if it were sitting near them and spit in it. I had people that tried to do some pretty ungodly things to me while I was doing it, but I took my stand anyway. By the way, there were many that got saved. But there are many that to this day probably will die and go to hell. But I took my stand anyway. I stood may I say this, in fear. Wait till you have teachers telling you you can't do something. Well, you can't have a Bible here. I said, go talk to the principal. Oh, I've been sent to the principal's office so many times for having a Bible in class. I would just show up and the secretary would say, he's back. And the principal would put his arm around me and say, Craig, I appreciate your stand. Let's go back to class. And he'd walk in and say, it's not against the law for him to have a Bible. And by the time I got through all the whole cycle, everybody in the school knew who the preacher boy was. May I say something? I thank God I learned to stand for God. I was afraid. I didn't like it. Oh, I remember having to sit by myself at lunch. I remember having people harass me because I had a Bible, bow my head to pray, and all your food would be gone. Yeah, been there. But it did it anyway. You see, we're not to allow this fear to stop us. We're not to have the fear have us change the truth because somebody might be mean to us. Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you too. So we're not to have a spirit of fear. So then how do we take this stand? Take it boldly, because guess what? God didn't change. Amen. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Amen. Did you know God didn't die?
Yes, sir.
Did you know the Bible did not change? Now man changes the words, but God didn't.
Amen.
God's word has not changed.
Amen.
So number one, we're not to have a spirit of fear. Number two, we're to stand with power. Notice what it says. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. In other words, God has given us a spirit of power. The word power is the word dunamis in the Greek. You would know it as the word dynamite. Now, not like JJ, dynamite. But you have to be over 50 to understand that one fully. But we're moving on to up. You know, the word dunamis is the same word as Holy Spirit power. The power that resurrected Jesus was dunamis. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, a spirit of power. Now watch this. We're all lost sinners. We all deserve to die and go to hell. But the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we are born again.
Yes, sir.
Not by the blood of man, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God moves in us. He indwells us.
Amen.
He is the one who regenes us or regenerates or regeneticizes us, because he lives inside of us. When you get saved, please don't get mad at me for saying this, Jesus doesn't live in your heart, the Holy Spirit does.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is what indwells the believer. Now watch this. That means we have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us.
Amen.
That is the power of God.
Amen.
Therefore, I am to stand with the Holy Spirit guiding and leading that stand, empowering that stand. Now listen to me very carefully here. In other words, we are to take the stand in obedience to the Bible with the Holy Spirit backing our stand. Did you know that the Holy Spirit cannot lead you outside of the Word of God?
Sorry.
I hear people say all the time, well, the Holy Spirit's leading me to do something. Okay, show me in the Bible what he's led you to do. Well, it's not in the Bible, then it's not the Holy Spirit.
Sorry.
Hate to disappoint you. Because the Holy Spirit is God, and he can't work outside of his Word. If he works outside of his word, he is no longer God, and the Holy Spirit and God are one.
Right.
He has to work within the confines of the word of God. Well, God told me to sell my house because the rapture's coming and spend all my money and get what I want before he comes. Harold Camping is an idiot. You say, who is that? Good, I'm glad you don't know. He's one of these TV preachers and radio preachers that he's predicted the rapture about a half a dozen times and wrong every time. I can promise you, anybody predicts the rapture, it ain't going to happen that day. No man knows the hour nor the day that the Son of Man cometh. May I say something? We're not to let feelings prompt us. We're to let the Word of God prompt us. The Holy Spirit won't be by a feeling. You won't see one feeling associated with the Holy Spirit. You will see obedience to the Word of God. God does not work outside of His Word. The Holy Spirit works within the confines of the Word of God. He doesn't work by feelings. Well, I just feel the leading of the Spirit. Well, you can feel all kinds of things, but it doesn't mean it's right. If you drank too much coffee this morning, you might feel something right now, but it doesn't mean it's the Holy Ghost. All right? It might be the Holy Being, but not the Holy Ghost. But by the way, I hear people say this. Well, I'm not going to do that because I don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the word conviction means? It means you've been found guilty in a court of law of doing wrong. Why must you wait till the Holy Spirit tells you you're doing wrong before you do what he wants? I love you. But may I say this? I'd rather obey God without being wrong in the first place. Now, I wasn't real smart, but I had an older brother. He was even not as bright as I am. You say, why? Because I watched him get in trouble for things and say, Dad did that to him, and he did that. What will Dad do to me if I do that? Don't do that. I had an example that went before me. I decided I didn't want the wrath that came behind the wrongdoing. You say, what is that? Being smart. You know, if your brother got whooped for it, don't you think you are ding dong? I say, where did you learn that statement? Back there. Heard him say it many a time. You say, why? Because I didn't always learn that way. But I figured out, hey, the older I got, the more I realized, if somebody got in trouble for doing that, why should I get in trouble for it too? You know, there comes a point in time where you wake up and say, Shazam. Why should I have to wait till God forces me to do right? I want to do right. I want to do what God says. I want to live the way God wants before he has to paddle me to do it. Too many Christians are waiting for God to smack them before they do something. We have power by obedience to the Bible. Not because of what we stand against, but upon that which we stand for.
Yes.
You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is based on what you're standing for, not what you're standing against. Did you hear me say that? The power of the Holy Spirit is what you're standing for, not what you're standing against. There are preachers all over America standing against the right things. But they're not obeying the truth. I'm against the murder of babies called abortion. I'm against alcohol. I don't think Christians ought to drink it, can prove it. God says that they're fools, and a fool has said in his heart there is no God. And may I say this, we ought not be drinking booze. I don't care if it's at the Catholic Church or at Thanksgiving, we ought not drink it. Everybody doing all right? Preacher, I don't think y'all said that. Okay, don't do it, I just did. I'll take a bold stand biblically.
Amen.
Now, listen to this very carefully here. Just because I say that doesn't mean you have to be mean about it, though.
That's
There's a lot of preachers out there that are standing against the right things to be against, but that's all they do, and everybody labels them a mean person. Why? Because they're not standing for anything. They're standing against something, but they're not standing for something else. They think their stand against wrong is standing for God. I hate to disappoint you. You can stand against something and be lost.
That's right.
I know lost people that are against the murder of babies.
That's
right. Doesn't happen to be the governor of Virginia. Matter of fact, he's for post-birth abortion. He's for the fact that if a baby's born and it's not what you wanted, you can go ahead and have it put to death. Welcome to Robert Northrum. You are going to see in the liberal days coming ahead, post-birth abortion. It's being taught in our public schools. Tough words don't give you power. The power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God gives you power. Rudeness does not give you power. The power of the Holy Spirit in a stand for right and a standing for right, not just against wrong. Loudness does not give you a strong, powerful stand. Good night. I know a bunch of loudmouth idiots called liberals. They stand very loud. The problem today isn't the loudness of the bad. It's the quietness of the good. So the Holy Spirit in obedience to that book right there is what gives you the power to stand right as a Christian. I tell people this all the time. You can holler and scream and yell about all the wrong, but what are you doing that's right? Oh, I'm against people shacking up, living together, premarital sex. I'm against adultery, fornication. I'm against all of it. But may I say this? How about we stand for the right things, not just against the wrong things?
Amen.
So, we're not to have a spirit of fear. We're to have a spirit of power. Number three, we need a spirit of love by which to stand biblically. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Ooh. Now, this is the word agape, or the deep abiding love of God. Folks, I like food. Can't you tell? We all like food. There are certain foods I would sometimes even use the word love. But I don't love that like I love my wife.
Amen.
I don't love that like I love the people in this church. Say, what's the difference? It's the same word, but it has a different meaning. And in the Greek, there are three different words for love, one of which is the word agape. That is God's love, unconditional to man. But then there's another one called phileo. That's a fondness. That's the sensual, whether it be our appetites or whether it be physically for somebody. That's our sensual appetites. God says here, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. He didn't say of phileo, he said of agape. Now, listen to me very carefully here. This is not some warm, squishy feeling of sensualism that the liberals want. Oh, I just love you. I want you to have all that you want. I want you to feel good. We can't have kids that have any hurt feelings. We might warp their psyche. Well, my dad didn't call it a psyche, but he warped it more than once. It was bent over and warped many a time with a board. Say, why? Because he hated you? No, because he loved me and didn't want me to do those types of things over and over and over again, become a criminal.
Right.
It is criminal that we don't allow. Hey, I think every boy ought to stand at a batter's box in the bottom of the seventh inning, last inning in a little league game, with 3-2 and bases loaded and strike out.
Yeah.
And cry.
Amen.
Good night. I was a Christian school principal, and I had an awards night. Man, we got through it, a successful awards night. I was happy. This guy came to my office. He was so red-faced and angry, he had to have his wife do the talking for him. And she was saying that he was so upset. Now listen to me. He was so upset that there were kids there that didn't get an award and they cried. I said, oh, God bless you. Oh, that didn't go over real well. By the way, I said, well, there's only one valedictorian. There's only one that has the highest GPA, mathematically speaking, in a class. Everybody, I'm not for this participation. Let's quit taking, in little leagues now, they don't even keep score because somebody might cry if they lose. Good night. Man, I thought I lost if I didn't have a broken bone or a bloody nose or something half hanging wrong or a strawberry on my thigh from sliding. And if somebody else didn't get one because I didn't come in right and knock them on their backside, something was wrong. Say, what was that? Hey, that was part of learning to grow up, taking a stand. But may I say something? Love is based on truth, not a feeling. Love is based on the word of God, not how somebody feels. We have taken the blood out of songbooks in most churches in America today because we don't want a bloody religion. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is, by the way, that's why they have religion. We have Christianity. It is by the remission of sin comes by the blood of Jesus Christ, not some warm, squishy feeling. This is a love that corrects and does not accept error. Can I tell you something? God's not going to change just to satisfy your feelings. God doesn't care what your last name is. If you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and go to hell. I didn't say it. God just said, look, you have to be saved by the blood of Christ. You have to realize you're a sinner on your way to hell that Jesus paid the price. You can't earn it. You can't get baptized to get it. You can't join the church to get it. You can't go through some experience to get it. You must just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without the remission of sin, without shedding blood, there is no remission of sin. God made it available for man, but he won't come down and grab you by the back of the head and slap your head down. See, this is a love not based on feelings or emotions. Did you know my love is not based on feelings or emotions? It's based on right and wrong. Based on truth. I sometimes have to take stands against people I love. Wait till you have to take a stand against somebody that you call a mentor. Wait till you have to stand against people that you love with all your heart. You do it out of love, not out of hate. I didn't change direction, they did. I have preacher friends all over this country that's better that I not spend time with because they've changed and they're going a different direction. I'm not. Good night. My college had a meeting not 10 miles from here a few years ago. The vice president of the college called me and said, look, we're having a meeting at such and such place. You wouldn't want to come, would you? I got invited and uninvited all in the same sentence. That was the shortest opportunity I ever had. His statement was, I've called through everybody else. I have to call you, but you wouldn't want to come, would you? I said, no. I said, I wouldn't want to cause conflict. Say, did you get all upset? No. I said, Doc, may I ask you a question? Boy, did he get nervous. I said, how's your family? How's your girls? His one daughter was, after that, married to a man and in his 30s died, tragically. I sent him a letter, told him I was praying for him, that I loved him. That doesn't mean I'm going to invite him to come preach in this church. I can love him as a human being, but I'm not going to stand with him. He might not even spit on me if I were on fire. But that's okay. My love isn't dependent on what he does for me. It's what I do for him. You see, this stand is to stand on truth no matter the last name. Brother Josh, come up here for a second. This is my oldest son. He's my assistant pastor. I love the Lord, but if there ever comes a day when he changes doctrine, I'm not changing. And if I ever change doctrine, you better not change. Say why? Because I believe love is based on truth, not what the person's last name is. I love that young man. I love his wife. They're my kids. But if I had to take a biblical stand against you, I would do it. And I would expect you to do the same with me. See, it's not the last name. Thank you. You can have a seat. It's not the last name that's the issue. It's the truth that's the issue. Everybody doing all right? This is a love that allows opposition but doesn't change the stand because of opposition. I don't expect everybody to agree with me, but that doesn't mean I'm going to change and be like them. I'm not about to go to the Ministerial Association. Say why? Because I'm not going to sit down at a table full of people who don't even believe in the virgin birth of Christ or the shedding of the blood for the atonement for sin. Why in the world would I go eat with people that don't believe right doctrine? Before you get too excited about that, why do you listen to them on the radio? This is a love that enforces the consequences on all who disobey, not just those that we think deserve it more. You're not helping your kids by letting them get away with doing wrong. Well, I just love them so much, then correct them. I didn't say it, God did. Take a stand. You hurt them more by not standing. A right stand without love drives people away from what you stand. By the way, if you take a stand, some may be driven away, but eventually they'll come back. Or they'll be so broken, they'll crawl back. So God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Number four, this one's going to hurt. We're to stand with a sound mind. I'd be glad if some people just stood with a mind. The word sound mind means disciplined, self-controlled, listen to this, non-reactionary. Do you know that my responses should not be a knee-jerk reaction? Ouch. We are to think in terms of right and wrong by principle, not by emotions and feelings. Folks, I have emotions. I have feelings. But I do not make my decisions based on emotions and feelings. It doesn't mean that it's always easy. It doesn't mean that it's always the most pleasant stand in which to take. There's times I have to look at people and tell them the wrong that they're about to face. Until you have to sit across the desk from a mom and dad and tell them their teenage daughter's pregnant. Or across the desk and tell them their son got a girl pregnant. Wait till you have to be the one to help pick up the pieces. Wait till you have to be the one that gets the phone call and says, "Preacher, my husband left me, or my wife left me." Wait till you hear the one that says, "Preacher, my child ran away." I've been there. It's not pleasant, but you stand on right. You stand based with a sound mind and not reactionary. You don't promise them the world if they come back. We need to let truth guide us, not what the government and universities and so-called intelligent people tell us. Amen. You know, there's very few letters difference between seminary and cemetery. I am so tired of religious people who have degrees that have more degrees than temperature. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is, thus saith the Lord, and we do what he says. I'm tired of religious people. How about we have Christianity? You see, I don't make reactions in decisions based on who's the president, who's the governor, and who's this person, and who's that person. No, right is still right. We still have the Constitution of the United States of America.
Amen.
Let's make decisions based off the Constitution, not how everybody feels.
Amen.
I'm so tired of people living based on their feelings. That's why we have such insanity going in America today.
Right.
We don't need to listen to people who are religious, but they go against the Bible. I'm going to use a name. Are you ready? Hang on. John MacArthur is a heretic.
Yes.
He's a preacher from Southern California who said, the blood of Jesus trickled to the foot of the cross. You don't need the blood for salvation. John MacArthur's a heretic, and we ought not stand with him. And yet, I know a quote-unquote fundamental independent Baptist who has a large college in Southern California that runs with him. And there are churches all over sending their kids to that person's college, getting educated by people that run with people like that. I have a problem with that. Say, who is it? Come see me. I'll tell you in private, not in public. People who use the wrong Bible have wrong doctrine. So therefore, they don't have a sound mind. Everybody doing all right? If they're wrong on the Bible, how can they be right on anything else? Well, I like how they say it. They're so suave. Yeah. And look how many politicians are suave. Yeah. Just because you like how it's said, it tickles your ears, the Bible talks about. Well, a rattlesnake can woo you in too. You can look at a pretty little snake that's got all kinds of different colors or rings on it. It's called coral snake. You reach down and grab that thing, you're going to wish you hadn't. But it's so pretty. Yeah, pretty deadly. I learned a long time ago, you chop the snake's tail off right behind its ears. Mm-hmm. Chop that puppy off. Say, what kind of snakes do you like, preacher? Dead ones. Now, I'm not afraid of them, but I'm not playing with them. I've killed about a half a dozen rattlesnakes in my life and have no desire to play with them. I woke up in El Paso, Texas one day, or actually it was in Mexico, and I had a tarantula that big sitting on my chest. Say, what do you do at that hour of the morning? You say, help! And somebody reaches up to grab a book to smash it and say, don't do that. Get it off before you smash it. I've watched them puppies jump 6, 8, 10 feet across the room. You say, what do you do with that? Get out of its way. Find out later, it's about like a bee sting. It only hurts you if you're allergic to it, but I don't want to find out if I'm allergic. You see, people who use the wrong Bible have wrong doctrine. Those who have wrong doctrine are not of sound mind. The Bible talks about those that have a double mind being unstable in all their ways. People who can't make a decision. People who are in and out, hot and cold, on and off, everywhere they go. They're unstable. Can I tell you something? We need a country that doesn't need more drugs. They need more truth.
Amen.
We don't need more shrinks. We need more preachers that are men of God who will proclaim the truth. We don't need psychiatrists and psychologists. You need a man of God with the word of God to give people the advice and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Based on truth. Well, how does this make you feel? Who cares? My dad did not look at me on Wednesday nights after church and say, son, The trash needs taking out. How do you feel about it? That was never entered into the equation. The only time there was feelings involved is if you didn't take it out.
Amen.
Then you had a Board of Education meeting applied to the seat of knowledge. And you felt it. And you didn't forget it the next time.
Amen.
Especially because Dad got up real early to go to work. Sometimes he'd leave for work at 2:30 in the morning, work 3 to 3. Have you ever been woken up at 2:30 in the morning to take a trash can out? I have. Say, did you ever have it twice? Nope, I learned fast. May not have been smart, but I was a quick learner. Amen? You see, may I say this? The enemy is the one that's going to call you crazy. The enemy is going to call you ignorant. Oh, we have climate change. The world is going to go into a cataclysmic weather pattern. Folks, people that believe that are the same people that believe that you came from a single-celled amoeba that turned into a monkey that lost its tail, and now you're a human.
Yeah.
And you call me stupid?
Yeah.
Religious people, well, you need to come to the 21st century, Pastor. They're the ones that have to change the Bible because they need an easier Bible. The King James has gotten us through for the last 400 and some years. Guess what? It's going to carry us through.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't need an easier Bible. I need people who will stand biblically and do that which is right.
Amen.
We need the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of God and the truth of the God and a sound mind. Our world is stupid. Made this statement, I'll probably make it again tonight. We are on the verge of either a revolution or a revival.
That's right.
We have been dumbing down our society for 70 years.
Yep.
And in the last 10 years, they have ripped apart every memory of the Civil War so they can start another one.
Yep.
Here's the problem, they want to be the aggressors now. Civil War was never started over slavery. States' rights versus federal rights.
Amen.
And now you have governors going against the federal government. Isn't it amazing? The people that have fought our president for 4 years are now telling us we have to get along. Don't you see the fault in the system? The enemy will call us crazy. Well, did you go to a college that was, accredited? That's the word. I knew it started with an A and I lost it. Well, you didn't go to an accredited college, preacher, so your education is no good. That's like the Little League trying to accredit Mickey Mantle. No, I didn't go to an accredited college, but I guarantee you I got more brains in that little finger than any politician's got in their whole head.
Amen.
People that went to Harvard, Princeton, a bunch of educated idiots.
Amen.
Let me say this to whet your appetite. Any government that has to lead by fear is evil. Any person that has to lead by fear is leading in an evil way.
That's right.
We need to know the truth in which to stand upon. So, right there's the truth. As Americans, we ought to stand on the Constitution.
Amen.
As it was written, not as liberals want to reinterpret it.
Amen.
We will have to take stands in days to come. Some of you will have to stand at a family reunion at Thanksgiving or Christmas. You don't have to be mean and nasty. If the booze comes out, quietly leave. Well, we have to stay for the toast. Says who? Says who? Good night. I went to my 5-year class reunion from a Christian high school, and it was at a restaurant, and they pulled the beer out. Brother Mike, they should have not done that, because I was speaking at the banquet. Right in the middle of the meal, I got up and said, folks, I'm about to get uninvited to these things, so I might as well just get it over with. And I talked about them drinking liquor from a Christian school and how bad it was, and told the waitresses not serve anymore. And gave my speech and walked out, Bible under arm. Shazam, they called me back for my 10-year. I was the class president. I was nominated the man to change the least in 10 years. At our 25-year class reunion, I got invited back, bunch of idiots. Got up and preached again. Guess who got nominated the one that has changed the least again? Say, they did that just out of spite. I don't care. I'll wear it as a badge of honor. I'm not changing. It hadn't changed. You see, you don't have to be mean. We just need to stand biblically. Not with fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. By the way, you don't get any more sound than the Word of God.
Amen.
None. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I will not prolong the invitation, but I must ask, as I always do. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven someday. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Virtually every hand, but I'll ask. Is there one today that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begins to play. When it begins to play, if you raised your hand, the Lord worked on your heart, how about you come to the altar, kneel, and talk to the Lord about it for a moment? Not as a show, but as an act of humility.